We are here with Karen Jacobs. She is the Doctor of Education for Boston University and is a certified professional ergonomist and promotes backpack awareness. And she is also a fellow of AOTA and has done so many different things. She is here to promote advocacy in the profession of occupational therapy and the involvement within the community, reaching out to legislators and becoming ambassadors for our profession through the use of using resources to further advocate for our profession. And she is a believer of creating balance and meaning within your profession. We hope that this assists you in being an advocate and staying tuned with the NYSOTA website to further understand different ways to become an advocate for our profession and to become aware of Advocacy Day. Good afternoon to everybody. Good afternoon, Karen Jacobs. This is Heidi McAlpine, and we have two students, Christine and Josh. And we would just like to just connect a little bit with someone who's been involved in the programs, such as yourself. And you have worn many hats, Karen, many hats. You've become involved in many things to keep our profession moving forward. And just to name a few, we could go on and on because you've done so much and has done so much good for the profession. But you have been past president and vice president of AOTA, founding editor of interdisciplinary journal called Work, which is a preventative and assessment and rehabilitation journal. You are presently the program director and clinical professor of OT for the distance learning for Boston University. And I can only say great things about that. It has expanded my thinking and help me to become more involved within the profession. And you're also a certified ergonomist, and you have done the backpack awareness, which I have seen every year, and I love what you're doing and expanding that and sharing that with your students at BU as well. So I think I just have to say thank you for being that example for the profession, Karen, and thank you for being here.
Oh, Heidi, thank you. And you and I go back many, many years. Perhaps you may want to just share how we originally first met each other.
I first met you, at least got to know you a little bit better. I knew you through all the different things within the organization, but we went on a people-to-people delegation, a bunch of OTs from all over the world, which was fantastic to have that experience. And we went to India, and we were able to better understand how other professionals interact with OTs and OTs, different OT experiences within different settings, hospitals, schools. We were able to collaborate on different ideas and share what's working, what isn't working, what different laws are in place to help the clients that we work with. So it was such a wonderful experience. It sparked my interest in how to expand my knowledge and experience into different areas, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. And I know that's something that you're really pushing for and have worked hard to connect professionals throughout the country and the world.
Well, you know, the reason I was so excited for you to share that is based on that experience, and I actually led two delegations of occupational therapists to India, but you may recall going to a school called Disha, and through that connection, every year, students from Boston University spend 1 month, either in July or August, at Disha, working with the students there and with the occupational therapist, the physical therapist, and get immersed in the culture. And so that came about from that trip. I guess as we begin to talk about, you know, how we get involved, it's just looking at opportunities, what's out there, and seeing if you can take that opportunity and expand it.
Yes, and I think that the quote that you have on your email is beautiful, and it just fits so well with what you just said. And that is so many, where is it? It was just beautiful.
And I'll give you that quote. It's
yes.
A Margaret Mead quote. And it's, and I quote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, concerned citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." And that's, you know, very inspirational to me, Margaret Mead's quote. And I'm delighted to be able to speak with you, Heidi, Josh, and Christine today.
And you are a perfect example of that. And I think this will lead nicely into that being said, because you've done more than just a small group of people and everything that you've been involved with. Where do you see yourself? Where's your five-year plan? You've done so much up to this point. What's your five-year plan and your thinking on how to connect to AOTA's 2025 vision in relation to what you've already accomplished and what you think hasn't been accomplished yet?
Well, you know, that question had me ponder. And what I am now in my career, I want to be a mentor to others. I've been very fortunate and grateful to be part of this profession now. It will be 40 years in 2019, and I want to give back to the profession in a role as a mentor. And so we have an online post-professional doctorate in OT, which you're part of, Heidi, and mentoring is extremely important. And so our academic mentor team is studying peer-to-peer mentoring, but we've studied faculty-to-student mentoring, and I try to apply that mentoring strategy. So my five-year plan as an educator is really to continue to mentor students and also to contribute to advancing the body of knowledge in occupational therapy that supports the efficacy of what we do. And we have a few different projects going now, research projects. I also see myself continuing to be an advocate for occupational justice for people with disabilities. And one of the ways that I do that is through helping legislators better understand what occupational therapy is and what difference we make. And I do that, again, in some ways, a pay it forward. I always go to AOTA's OT Day at Capitol Hill, which I think is very important. And for anybody who wants to become more involved as an advocate, that's a great avenue to do. And sometimes it might seem like, oh my God, that's in October. How am I going to get to DC? You can participate virtually. So that's one thing that is important. But where I see myself influencing students is through the classes that I teach and the assignments that are in my classes. And I'll give you an example. I have a course called Professional Service Management that I teach typically in the spring, which would be the January time period, starting in January. And one of the assignments is to write a letter to a legislator to be able to articulate in that letter what we would like the legislator to keep in mind when voting on a bill or suggesting a bill that we'd like the legislator to put forth, providing a case study, because I think it's very important to know that legislators really want to hear about cases. You know, why will this legislation have an impact on someone? And so the students send that out every year, and many of them do get responses from legislators. Another assignment that we do is a letter to the editor of a newspaper. And here's where students are encouraged to read newspapers, listen to the news, and find something that resonates with them or challenges them or just bothers them in an article or story that they read or listened to, and follow the guidelines for a letter to the editor and write clearly their thoughts and identify themselves as an occupational therapy student. And excitingly, We've had our letters to the editors published in major newspapers, like the New York Times. So that's sort of a pay it forward, looking at the future. Our students are our future, and helping them to feel competent and confident in everything that they do. And importantly, feeling comfortable with defining occupational therapy to any audience.
Right. So I feel you've done that personally as a student in the OTD program at BU. One of the courses we were required to write a letter. And I think we mentioned a lot about personal stories, because personal stories ignite us. We're passionate about that idea. So that being said, I want to ask you the next question. So you work with students and you help them better understand how to get involved with legislation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what would that, if you had an opportunity, what would the idea or concern or solution be that you would present?
Well, you know, there's a lot of legislation out that's important, and we know also that healthcare, the whole healthcare system, has some major issues. So what I would do is look nationally and look locally and see what issues are resonating. I'll give you an example that I think, you know, hits home because I'm so interested in backpacks. So many years ago, I was grocery shopping, and I heard on the radio, it was playing in the grocery store, that a legislator, Representative Lou Kafka, was putting forth legislation to limit the weight of textbooks because his constituents felt that their children's backpacks were too heavy. Well, I wrote down his name, made a phone call the next day, and said, could I speak to you? Because I think that that legislation is probably short-sighted, that it's really not the textbook size, but a bigger issue. I met with him, and now, 15 years later, we put forth legislation related to ergonomics and students. He hosts every year OT Day at the State House, and I'm not even a constituent of his community. I live in Boston and he is in Sharon. But just reaching out to this legislator, we have developed a relationship that he supports and supports the issues, particularly ergonomics, that are important. So that's just a little example of, you know, I'm always looking for issues that might have an impact on the community. And local in particular, as well as on an international and national level.
Okay. So we're going to have Christine, that being said, we're going to have Christine mention her question and get an idea of her position with that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Heidi. Christine, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to your question.
Great. Well, as someone who clearly has done a lot of advocacy for OT and a lot of expanding the profession and getting the word out there about OT, what kind of advice would you give to either a student or a new graduate who is still kind of struggling to find their place in the profession and exactly what OT is for them? What kind of advice would you give them about getting involved with advocacy efforts and just getting out there and expanding the view of the profession in general?
Well, I love that question. I think it's extremely important to start as a student. And one of the first things I tell students to do is have business cards printed. And wherever you go, hand out those business cards. And perhaps you're feeling, oh my God, I'm just a student. Well, that's not true. You are an ambassador to occupational therapy. So on your business card, and I know that both you and Josh are at Stony Brook University, you'd get permission from the university to ask if you can put their logo on, have your name, have a contact, most likely it should be your email. You can put put on their anticipated graduation date. And if you're uncomfortable being able to explain occupational therapy concisely, on the back side of your card, you can have the definition of OT. And it should be spelled out. Not use OT, but occupational therapy. And you heard me say OT, and I sort of slipped. I try to say I'm an occupational therapist, and occupational therapy is. So keep using the words rather than the abbreviation if you can. And so wherever you go, you hand out that card. So we've got the winter holiday coming up. You're probably going to be visiting family and friends. Give out your business card. And I want you to give out two business cards whenever you give your cards out. Now, I'm going to put this back as a question to both you and Josh. Why should you always give out two business cards?
Well, I think one reason would be if they lose the first one, there's always a backup.
Okay, that's one reason. But there's actually a more powerful reason.
You also have the opportunity for them to then pass that second card on to someone else.
Absolutely. And that becomes a pay it forward. And it becomes a way of seeding the market with your business card and having the person you gave the card to help you promote occupational therapy. So I hope I'm going to challenge both of you to do that. I give out my cards wherever I am. And in particular, if I'm on a flight on an airplane and I'm sitting next to one or two people, hopefully not in the middle seat, but maybe on the aisle, I always have extra business cards with me on my travels. And I'll hand the two cards out. I'll explain what I do, what occupational therapy is, and just have a conversation. And I can't tell you how many times passing out the card has allowed me to be an advocate for OT. People have reached out, oops, and I said OT again, reached out to me to ask about giving a presentation, to learn more. Their sister or brother is interested in occupational therapy as a profession. I have a podcast too called Lifestyle by Design. And I remember standing in line. We were delayed getting out of Paris, coming back from a business trip. And I ended up having a conversation with a professor at Dartmouth. And by the time we were finished, he had two of my business cards, and he was going to be a guest on my podcast. So getting involved, that simple thing of having business cards and passing them along. Also, how do you get involved? Being an AOTA member, being a member of your state association, being part of WFOT, attending conferences. We have upcoming the AOTA conference in New Orleans. Go there as a student if it might feel like, oh my God, how can I do this? Volunteer. Lots of people. So be open to opportunities and keep reading. Read AJOT, read anything that you can advance your knowledge and skills about occupational therapy, and share those interesting evidence-based articles. You know, make them into a conversation. Like, did you know? Great conversation around the dinner table. Did you know that occupational therapy can, and whatever it is? And, you know, with all of your professors, make sure that you develop a relationship with your professor that you can say to them, could I, you know, perhaps reach out to you as a mentor or maybe part of my circle of advisors in the future. So use the resources that you have. An entry level, all of those resources from school should be there for you to avail yourself to as well. So I gave you a few examples that I hope are helpful.
I think those are very helpful. Actually, something so simple as business card could make a big difference.
Oh, it makes such a big difference. And even, you know, I have so many examples of asking, you know, do the ask about things. I was sitting on a plane behind someone from Microsoft. I had been at a conference in Maastricht, a human factors ergonomic conference, and this person hadn't really spoken to me. And I decided to start a conversation with him. We ended up moving our seats, sat next to each other. By the time I got up the plane, he was giving me a small grant from Microsoft. And we've maintained a connection for, boy, now, I don't even know how many years, maybe a dozen years. So it's just being out there, it's sharing, it's enthusiasm. But it has to be coupled with knowledge and skills.
Right.
You know, I really love how the business card strategy is so simple yet powerful in its, you know, its potential. And I also really appreciate the suggestion to make conversation out of evidence-based articles and just keeping that as a part of your own routine. But I'm just wondering, something that I noticed during my field work is that, you know, combined with the productivity demands and the challenge of really just getting the basics down of your day-to-day routine, it became challenging to really maintain focus on keeping up with the research and making that a part of my practice. So I'm curious if you have any advice for a new graduate, you know, any strategies or suggestions to keep that a priority and make sure that that does become a part of your routine.
Yeah, so, you know, we all want balance in our lives. When we're first starting out, you know, we are developing our knowledge and skills. And so I think as a student, what would be nice to do is to start a journal club. And it could be virtual. So maybe some of your classmates or reach out to students in other programs and say, let's every 2 months take an article on a topic of interest. Maybe it's related to the setting you're in, and review that article together and talk about it. And I think that that's one way of building a community of learners. It could be virtual, it could be face-to-face, and having a conversation of how can we now take what we just read in this journal article and implement it into what we're doing. How can we sort of translate it, use knowledge translation? How can we put it into words where we can bring it forth to perhaps a family member or directly to a client? So I think that would be a really great way, and that's not that time consuming to keep up with what's going on in the area of evidence in occupational therapy. I'm a big believer of having balance in your life, and it's very important that wherever you're working, to find something that's meaningful to you. And it might be, you know, doing something that's a meaningful occupation at your work, and it could be something totally different from anything that you might do in OT. Maybe you decide to start an early morning yoga club with the people that you're working with, or Tai Chi, or meditation. All of those are important to help have balance when the healthcare system is challenging. It's rigorous. We want to be able to be active advocates for a long time for the people we serve, but we have to take care of ourselves too. And so this is just another way of having health and wellness embedded into your career. And Heidi's wonderful about that, because I know that she does that in her own life.
Yes, yes, I do. It's everyone needs balance, and that reminds me of the conversation that we had with Flo Hannes, and she had mentioned how we forget ourselves as clinicians, practitioners, to think about ourselves and our needs. Uh-huh. So that we have the energy to be able to connect and stay rooted so that we understand and are present for our clients.
Absolutely. If we're not healthy, it's going to be very challenging to do our best and to be at our best for the people we serve.
And I think that's a great way to connect to the AOTA's Vision 2025, our own health and well-being.
It is, absolutely, absolutely. That's so important.
And I think the great point that you brought together was with sharing knowledge, both with professionals, as students, with the journaling club. I think that's great, with sharing articles, and that's how we can become that collective consciousness among clinicians, and then sharing that and expanding that into other areas within our practice or within our communities.
Yeah, and you know, and just I do want to mention one thing that I do that's, I think, important. I read outside of the OT world. I learn a lot from reading fiction or historical fiction. Don't always be locked into one line of reading. There's so many areas where you can pick up knowledge about the world. You know, find some great podcasts to listen to. I'm always listening to either a book or a podcast while I'm walking, so I'm getting two things done, but I only keep an earbud in one ear, so I'm aware of the environment, so I want to make sure I reinforce that. But there's so many ways of enjoying life, enjoying your career, by infusing all different activities into it.
It's a good point. Learned experiences, and like you said, understanding different cultures through reading. If you can't travel and go to different things with OT and become more culturally sensitive, this is one way that we can become culturally sensitive through reading and understanding history and other people's personal stories.
Absolutely. And, you know, writing these narratives up. About doing a photo voice project. There's so much out there that's exciting to do, and there's so many opportunities, and that's the, I think, the joy of our profession, that the sky is the limit. There's so many different opportunities that we can avail ourselves to through our creativity, being innovative, and that will help us reach the 2025 vision that AOTA has created for the profession.
I agree. And I thank you so much, Karen, for being here with us. And the best way to get involved is hanging out with people who are involved in AOTA. And I think, Tag, you are it, Karen.
So, oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
So we appreciate all that you bring for spending time with us and sharing your ideas, your thoughts, and your concerns for the profession, and for becoming part of our podcast that will be starting for NYSOTA the beginning of the year. So you gave some great input, and we greatly appreciate your time and the information that you gave us.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to listening to your podcasts in general when they're ready. And it's adding to a whole line of podcasts related to occupational therapy. And if people Google occupational therapy and on the different platforms for podcasts, you're going to see that many new podcasts are evolving. And that's just a great way of us communicating with the public about what we do. So I congratulate you on starting this podcast, and thank you for including me.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving us input on your podcast, Lifestyles by Design, and speaking to other podcasters, I guess you would say, and the information that they gave with that last podcast or webinar that you had out. That was very informative as well.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much.
If people are interested in following up on your work and listening to your podcast, where can they go to find that information?
Well, they can easily find information about what I do on my blog, and it's blogs.bu.edu/KJACOBF/. And they can search on Stitcher and the App Store and Google for Lifestyle by Design. One thing that I've been doing in recent years is I co-author children's books, and we have now 14 children's books that talk about, most of them talk about occupational therapy, but portray children with disabilities accurately or address a hard topic like depression or dementia. And I would encourage people to look at that, look at the books. They're available, I think, on Amazon. And you can read about them. I have descriptions on my blog, too. But I think it's important, again, to get the messages out about occupational therapy, not only in our evidence literature, which I think is probably the number one way of doing it, but through other publications. And podcasts is one. That's another media. But you can also do it through children's books. And that's been a real joy to work with other people to create these children's books.
Excellent. We'll make sure to provide a link to your blog at the bottom of the show notes when this is published, so people can find it easily.
Thank you so much. That's great. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Karen, for your time. We've gone over a little bit, but I appreciate you spending time with us and your patience, and have a great holiday.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, I hope that you enjoyed our discussion with Karen Jacobs, as it was certainly a pleasure to be a part of it. I know that as a student getting ready to get out there into the world, I plan to take that advice to heart. Something that really stood out to me was the use of occupational therapy as opposed to shortening it to OT. I personally feel that language plays a huge role in how successful we are with conveying that which we really mean to communicate, and feel that it can play an important role in how we advocate for the profession moving forward. If any listeners feel inspired by the discussions that we have and want to provide feedback, comments, or suggestions, or if you have something that you're working on and you'd like to share and be a part of the podcast, please reach out and let us know. We'll place our contact info in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Well Matters.